to Nitro Best Price. Pick up a Nitro card to save money without thinking about it. Maverick, adventure's first stop.
I have only five words for you.
From my cold, dead hands.
It's time for Gun Radio Utah. No apologies. A show dedicated to preserving and protecting your constitutional right to bear arms for your security and sport. Here's your host, well-known gun rights advocate and chairman of the Utah Shooting Sports Council, Clark Apogian.
Yeah, welcome to Gun Radio Utah. There are no apologies here. Happy Labor Day to everybody who is who's not laboring. I don't care if you're laboring or whatever. It doesn't matter. Just happy to have a weekend to do what you want. And all right, we've got a lot of stuff to cover. Main thing, we're going to talk about the CDC. I'm going to talk about a few things regarding the CDC research and firearms, especially what's her name? Rochelle Walensky, who's the, Biden appointed. She's kind of a political appointee because she doesn't have to, the head of the CDC doesn't have to go through, oddly enough, doesn't have to go through Senate approval or anything like that. So we're going to talk about, you'd think she'd be just spending her time on masks and vaccines and Ebola. No, she, as are many of the Biden appointees or Biden nominees, she's focusing on guns. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to call her out on a few things and talk about a little bit of research. We're going to get into the Dickey Amendment from 1996 and call her out on that a little bit. The Taliban and the Second Amendment. What do those two things have in common? Well, we're going to talk about the link that Joe Biden linked. Well, he didn't officially link it, but I'm going to do it. The ATF. I'm going to talk about what the ATF is doing with their basically, we're going to talk about their status of their attempt to essentially alter the basic definition of firearm. What it is. They want to alter that. And you're thinking, well, the ATF, they should be allowed. No, Congress. Congress can do that. ATF can do that. And we're going to go back. I mean, you go back to 1968. We specifically said that. We're going to talk a little bit about that. And I'd like to get into, we're talking about that. We're talking about David Chipman, who was still is, although he is a beleaguered, he is an embargoed nominee for the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives by Biden. And he's basically a paid gun control lobbyist that wants to be the director of the ATF. So he wants to basically have semi-automatic firearms banned, first registered, and then, yes, banned. And what is the federal government going to do with that information? Can they be trusted to keep that information? Well, we'll talk about that. And what is, and I know you'll all be Googling this now, what is a group of, this is not anti-Catholic. Okay, so let me just start off with that. But still, there's no apologies on Gun Radio Utah. What is a group of nuns called? I dare you to say, hey, Google, what is a group of nuns called? All right. And then look at that word and then ask for the definition of that word. It's very interesting. We're going to talk about what a group of nuns who actually bought stock in the Smith & Wesson company, Smith & Wesson Firearms, they bought stock in it. Why would they buy stock in Smith & Wesson? And what have they been doing with it for the last several years? Anyway, we'll talk about that if we have time. I do want to talk about, well, U.S. News and World Report came out with an article called Car Crashes, Guns Are the Top Killers of U.S. Children. All right. When you think of, oh, and then they say, and adolescent, they get into the article a little bit, and when they say children and adolescents, when you think of an adolescence, do you think of an adolescent? Does that does that image in your mind, you think of that right now, do they go to war? Do they protect our borders? Can that person that you're thinking of, can they purchase firearms? Can they purchase AR-15s and AK-47s? Can they drive cars without their parents? Can they rent a condo? Can they buy a house? Can they work? They work 9 to 5? Because in the definition that the Michigan Injury Prevention Center, researchers with that, yeah, those adolescents can do that. So when you play fast and loose with the ages on these things, you get to really get some interesting perspective on the numbers of deaths with car crashes and guns. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. So, and kind of call them out, on that. When we think children, you and I both know what we think of children and when we think of adolescents. So, and then even maybe young adults or even something. But when you don't have a hard and fast definition, well, you can decide whatever age it is you want. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. But I'm also going to open up the phone lines. We only got about two and a half minutes or so left in this segment. But I want to open up the phone lines. So if you've got a question, a comment. Oh, it's my birthday, so be nice. Tomorrow. Tomorrow is technically my birthday. So, yeah. Anyway, 888-570-8010. 888-570-8010. Dan will answer the phone, and he'll say, what's your name and what do you want? So tell him what you want to talk about. So if you've got a question. So I really got to just give a shout out to all those folks that approach me in the stores and this kind of stuff. Most of you are quite nice, and you say, hey, I listen to Gun Radio Utah. And now I see why you're, and then they say, and now I see why you're just on the radio and not on TV. So yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. But a shout out to all of our very loyal listeners. And I happen to know also that we have some folks that listen every week to Gun Radio Utah, No Apologies, that don't like guns. And I think they're tuning in to try to get some information to go against us during legislative session. That's fine. That's fine. You know what? Knock yourself out. I would rather debate somebody that knows their stuff than somebody I have to coach with ideas against me. All right. So, all right. Let's see. What have I got here that I can go really quick on? Now, that one's too long. Okay. So, I'm just going to tell you. A group of nuns is called a superfluity. Superfluity. There he is. Superfluity. Like superfluous. It comes from the same term. So a group of nuns who bought stuff. It didn't say superfluity in the article, but I just had to do it because out of Springfield, it started off a group of nuns who bought stock in Smith & Wesson just to have a say in the gun debate are once again calling out Smith & Wesson for what they call an indifference to firearms' impact on human rights. So essentially, they are stockholders, shareholders in Smith & Wesson, so they have a voice and a special voice as opposed to just, you know, a purchaser of a Smith & Wesson product. And they filed a proposal that asks that Smith & Wesson adhere to the UN Guiding Principles on Business and Human Rights. And it says, for example, it says its sales of potentially lethal firearms that could cause serious human rights harms. Potentially lethal? No, I got to tell you something. They're not potential. They are lethal. That's why we carry them. And, you know, yeah, I just want to point out that even our detractors have to admit that firearms actually save more lives than they have ended. More firearms are used without being fired to protect a person than they are used to shoot or kill someone. All right. So it says earlier this month, Smith & Wesson, they're coming under a lot of fire. Smith & Wesson, the Mexican government sued Smith & Wesson and a couple other gun makers in U.S. federal court in Boston, saying that the gun industry in the United States is fueling cartel wars south of the border, where it says there are few gun shops and access is controlled. Few gun shops? There's like one gun store, and it's government-controlled, and you have to make an appointment before you ever get there. You have to be basically approved to get in there. And if they really wanted to stop the influx of guns coming in, you know, talk to the Biden administration or to the Obama administration and ask them to stop shipping guns over the illegally over the border. All right, when we come back.
Extra and subject to change. After term, regular rates apply. Compares pricing of top carriers. Xfinity Internet required.
Protecting and preserving your constitutional right to bear arms. It's Gun Radio Utah. Here's your host, Clark Apotian.
All right, here's a question for you. Do you think the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, should involve itself in firearms? In firearms related to death and that type of thing. Should the CDC, do we generally think of the CDC's mission as its mission statement to include firearms? Because when you start to think of guns as a disease rather than criminals, yeah, that's one thing. You know, I guess I'd have more faith, more, you know, ethical integrity, I think, thought of the CDC, if they said, you know what, we need to look at criminals and find out what's going on with them. However, quite honestly, I think they ought to just stick to diseases. But, you know, who am I? I'm certainly not Dr. Rochelle Walensky, who is the Biden-appointed director for the CDC. And she says she wants to study why shootings are increasing. You know what? They're not increasing here, but they are increasing areas. What's that, Dan? I missed it. Hold on. So if you want to, that's a good point. And Dan is always backing me up. That's good. 888-570-8010. So do you think the CDC should be involved in research on gun deaths or guns or gun laws? So there's this thing called the Dickey Amendment from 1996. Congress passed it, the Senate confirmed it, and it was signed by George Bush at the time. All right. And it said this: the CDC shall not use any of the money that it is given for gun control research, for research about gun control. Nothing in that Dickey Amendment said anything about research on crime, research that involves guns, research on death, research on any of that. It just said you can't use the money to enact an ideological agenda that is gun control. That's all it was. And they keep coming back now and saying, you know, well, we can't do any research on firearms because of the Dickey Amendment and blah, blah, blah. That's such a lie. And they have done research. They have done research. They were just stopped from doing something a government agency shouldn't be doing in the first place. And they had to be told, because the CDC director at the time in 1996 said that they were going to do research to ban guns. I mean, and the Congress said, and this was, you know, we had Democrats voting, you know, for the Dickey Amendment at the same time, too. I said, this is not your role. This is, you stay in your lane, so to speak. So anyway. So, Dr. Rochelle Walensky of the CDC now says that because of the spike in crime in communities across America, that she wants to start putting in lots of research and essentially, without saying it, on gun control. All right, maybe it's happening though. Maybe it's happening because in these same cities that are seeing the increase in crime, they have no bail policies. Basically, they just put the criminals back on the street. Now we arrest you. Now we're going to take your handcuffs off. And you promise to come back for your court date. Now, so anyway, you know, besides, and then, of course, the defunding of the police departments. But so now, rather than assign the blame to those kind of things, which is an exact correlation, you know, the politicians and especially those who want to make a name for themselves, they're looking for causes. Elsewhere, you know, they're floating their proposals. One of the wildest things I saw, what did I read about it? The Federalists, they're actually floating proposals to pay criminals not to shoot other people. Yeah, you heard me. To pay criminals, don't shoot other people. Okay, so anyways, Walensky says she claimed that we haven't spent the time, energy, and frankly the resources to understand this problem because it's been so divided. Wrong. You just don't like it. There's been lots and lots and continually lots and lots of research done on these things. Just because the research gives you answers that you don't like doesn't mean that the answer is wrong. Okay. What does it come up with? It's a cultural problem, and it's linked to drugs. It's linked to, hey, I'm just going to say it, single-parent households. It's linked to drugs, and there's huge correlations right there. All right. So anyway, so we talked about the Dickey Amendment. They keep saying that they have this restriction on any research whatsoever, but in 2020, the CDC itself announced research grants to prevent firearm-related violence and injuries. The FBI, the DOJ, Congress, they did studies. Barack Obama signed that order. Remember in 2013, he signed an executive order directing $10 million to gun violence research. I mean, the CDC's own website has a section dedicated to funded research. And another section dedicated to firearm violence prevention. And they're saying that they are not allowed to do this? Well, anyway. So this is interesting. So you've got the gist of that. Now, in addition to that, so they try to get your support by saying we're just not allowed to because this old Dickey Amendment is still there. No, it isn't. All right, so I think I've got time. So this is... There's a group called the Regional Gun Violence Research Consortium. I want to belong to a group that has consortium in its name. I just think that would just be so cool. How about the Utah Shooting Sports Council Consortium? The Utah Shooting Sports Consortium. Anyway, I have to look into that. I have to ask the board. Anyway, so, by the way, if you want to go to find out more about what we're doing and sign up for alerts, UtahShootingSportsCouncil.org, UtahShootingSportsCouncil.org, and then weigh in there maybe as to whether we should add consortium to the name. Anyway, it's at the Rockefeller Institute of Government. They published a policy brief, and I pulled it up. I printed it out. It's 20 pages long, and it's called Policy Solutions to Address Mass Shootings. Okay, what is it? It's nothing more than a rewrite of an existing study that was done. And so their stated goal for this was to offset the supposed lack of research from federal agencies. Okay, so you read this thing, though, and all it is repackaged existing research that was funded by federal agencies, which, I mean, it's hilarious just even on its face. So the original paper includes this. The original paper that they based their pretended to be new stuff on says in the first line, policy and research implications in the conclusion section says, because of the cross-sectional nature of this study, we cannot definitively conclude that implementing a specific law would lead to a change in the incidence or severity of mass public shootings. So in the rewrite, though, they say nothing about that. And so as I'm looking through this, just scanning this 20-page thing, I think the most important note in the entire thing, because, remember, why'd they do this? Because there was no research, certainly no federally funded research, they say. It says right there, right in the upper right-hand corner on page 2, highlighted, this project was supported by grant number 2018-75-CX-0025, awarded by the National Institute of Justice Office of Justice Programs, U.S. Department of Justice. So forgive me if I see right through the CDC and what they want. Stick to disease control, or at least be honest with yourselves and start looking into why criminals are criminals. All right. So, hey, I got to tell you one more thing. I've got about, 35 seconds or so. The Gunsmith at Sportsman's Warehouse. We've got a big deal coming up next week. I think it's next week. September 11th, next week, on the show. The entire hour show will be dedicated to answering your questions by at least two gunsmiths right from the gunsmith at Sportsman's Warehouse. If your gun is broken, if your gun is not doing what it should be doing, we had a gun malfunction today on the range. We were out of Lee K. We were training some armored truck. And for the life of me, I couldn't definitively figure out what was wrong. So what I tell them, get your gun over to the gunsmith at Sportsman's Warehouse. They weren't. They were just kind of around the corner from Lee K. Anyways, you can take your gun there, 1630 South 5070 West, Salt Lake City, 1630 South 5070 West. Give them a call at 801-304-8070, 801-304-8070. You can email them, thegunsmith@sportsmans.com, thegunsmith@sportsmans.com. But remember that email, thegunsmith@sportsmans.com, because if you've got a question, email it in to them, and they'll answer your question on the air next week. But if you have any questions, you can call in live next week as well. But if you're one of the people listening on podcasts, well, that won't work. So anyways, yeah, but anything that you need done to your gun, cleaned in oil, ceramic coating, Cerakote, you know, the sights, barrel and action work stocks, they work on handguns. They work on both pistols and revolvers. They work on shotguns and rifles, ARs, AKs, you name it. And I've got some weird
833-ED, no fun. For a free consultation and trial treatment, a $650 value. Put the happy back in your relationship.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Utah's talking guns. It's Gun Radio Utah. No apologies. Here's your host, chairman of the Utah Shooting Sports Council, Clark Kapotian.
Hey, and don't forget about that the Gunsmith at Sportsman's Warehouse next week. Solid. Ask a gunsmith the whole time so you can email them, thegunsmith@sportsmans.com, sportsmans.com, or thegunsmith@sportsmans.com. Email them and post your question. Now, you can also call in live if you're a live listener. All right, one other thing I got to tell you about is Utah Shooters, a fantastic group here in Utah, hence the name Utah Shooters. They are on October 1st. Friday, October 1st, from 3:30 to 7 at the Springville Range, the range in Springfield, the Hobble Creek Range. They have got an event coming called Utah Plinksters Shoot with Hobble Creek. So NRL 22. Anyway, it's $5. Any age youngster that can understand the four basic rules of gun safety and can list them are eligible to shoot. You're going to have one-on-one instruction after including a safety course, and they're going to learn proper firearm safety, firearms in the home, proper manipulation of both bolt action and semi-auto 22. And they'll have they'll also have the opportunity to learn archery technique from a Paralympian, Staff Sergeant Ryan McIntosh. Anyways, go to utahshooters.com for more information and to sign up. And they say to sign up soon because the it is filling up. So utahshooters.com. If you've got a little kid that wants to learn some good information about weapon handling. All right. So remember when Joe Biden said that he basically kind of mocked the Second Amendment supporters, which we've always said, hey, you know, it's awkward to talk about, and we don't really want to go there, but the Second Amendment was put in there to stop a completely overreached government, kind of like our founding fathers and the Brits. Yeah, kind of like that. And so he kind of mocked it. He said that anyone resisting the government would need jets and nuclear weapons. Otherwise, he basically said they were doomed to fail in the face of a hypothetical government onslaught. Okay, well, let history be our guide here. Let's think about the Viet Cong. Let's talk about the Mujahideen with Russia. Let's talk about the Taliban and ISIS in Afghanistan. Yeah, they didn't have nuclear weapons. They didn't have the jets, the Taliban. Well, maybe now they do. And we left. Sorry to say, I mean, it's a very awkward thing there to talk about, too. But just let history be your guide on that. They can do that. All right. So I want to talk about ATF. Okay. So, you know, we've talked about for the last few weeks, the ATF has proposed some rulemaking. And, in fact, they have a notice of proposed rulemaking and it was titled Definition of Frame or Receiver and Identification of Firearms. Essentially, they want to say that what we would consider parts of a firearm are now a firearm. And I guess you'd have to serialize them in that. Anyways, it went on and on about this. But we have to put this in the right framework. You know, the Biden administration, the Obama administration, the, let's call it the political left, they've done everything they can think of to implement new gun control laws. And you know, they manage, you know, you manage to get a few things here or there in certain states, but nothing they've done so far has ever worked for their supposed or their stated goal to reduce crime. None of that stuff has worked because criminals are criminals. They're going to, you have to approach it from a criminal control, not a gun control. Anyway, rather than just being, you know, again, ethically honest and admitting, you know, they were wrong, they figure we need to implement even more gun control, essentially until you and I have no right to keep and bear arms. The only problem with that idea is, as we have seen lately, most of America and, you know, therefore by its representative, Congress, isn't about to let that happen. And Congress is one that makes the laws that would say, you know, we're going to ban guns or so on and so forth. But so they figured, you know, the left knows that, and they've quietly kind of accepted that. So they just figure, well, we have to bypass Congress. We have to bypass the people's representative and just do that through the executive. So the ATF is part of the executive. And as you look at it, you know, just recently we've got import bans. That's the executive decision. And import bans on Russian ammo. When they could have, if they really wanted to, as we talked about last week, if they really wanted to hurt Russia or at least do something that was more appropriate, they would have picked something that we import from Russia on a much higher scale rather than down, you know, 100th on the list of ammunition. All right. So we've got, obviously, the bump stocks, pistol braces. Now their ATF is looking at triggers. They're doing this all without going to Congress, by the way, to do that. And whether it's by executive order or just the ATF, you know, getting a call from the president's office saying, hey, we need to do something on this. Anyway, so Merrick Garland, the you know, our kind of leftist attorney general appointed, he signed off on that definition of frame or receiver identification of firearms. And, you know, and it the comment period for it just ended, I think it was last week, week before last. And so basically what it says is they like to say it just changes a few words like frame, receiver, and firearm as they relate to guns. They just want to change a few of the definitions. But if you really look at it, it's nothing more than it creates a backdoor gun registration, almost a front door gun registration, and it prohibits homemade firearms. Yeah. Homemade firearms. We've been so conditioned to think that those are just terrible. You know, it's perfectly legal and has been legal since there have been gun laws. And make no mistake, if you make a gun, if you're a criminal, if you're a felon, if you're prohibited otherwise, not just a felon, but you're otherwise prohibited from owning or possessing or purchasing a firearm, you can't make one either legally. All right, so back in, I want to look at 68. Yeah, the Gun Control and Safe Streets Act of 68, right there said in it, and it was a crime control bill, it is impractical to treat each small part of a firearm as if it were a weapon. And that's why they specifically said part or parts cannot be regulated as a firearm, right in that legislation. All right, so, you know, you've got your AR-15s. They have, when we talk about receivers, you actually have two receivers on an AR-15. You've got your upper and your lower. The lower is the one that is serialized. That is the gun, so to speak. But they want to change that. So when you look at, the ATF's own website, they state, no license is required to make a firearm solely for personal use, and there's no law prohibiting such. But you still can't be a prohibited person to make one, obviously. And you know what? We're not looking to change that. We're not grumbling over that. Anyway, when we come back, I want to talk about a report out of U.S. News and World Report on car crashes and guns.
PCLaptops.com. That's PCLaptops.com. At PC Laptops, we really do love you.
Protecting and preserving your constitutional right to bear arms. It's Gun Radio Utah on Talk Radio 105.9 KNRS. Here's your host, Clark Kaposian.
Welcome back to the last segment of Gun Radio Utah today. Now, car crashes, guns are top killers of U.S. children. What do you think of when you think of a child? Yeah, we talk about adolescence, and they throw in the word adolescence in there, too. Older than children, you think? I think of an adolescent as somebody that's just getting their driver's license kind of thing. Anyway, they're using data, or at least the University of Michigan Injury Prevention Center is using data up to 19 years old. And, hey, at least that's better than the gun control groups using calling children up to 24 years old. Yeah, they actually did that. Look that up. All right, so it starts off, motor vehicle crashes and gun fatalities by far accounted for the most deaths among children in the United States in 2016, a new study shows. All right, having done the research on this previously, I know what the numbers are. I know what the numbers are nationwide. I know what the numbers are in Utah, and I know why. Okay? How is it that anyone dies from guns? All right. Suicide, negligence, or negligence or accident, I guess I could say, and legal intervention and homicide. Those are basically the four ways you can die from a gun. It's going to be fit into one of those. All right. So suicide. Yeah. Suicide is a problem. Suicide's a problem here. We're in the top 10 in Utah. Suicides, most of them are suicides are done with a gun. And you know what? The National Shooting Sports Foundation, the NRA, Gunners of America, the Utah Shooting Sports Council, among many other gun groups, are addressing that and have been addressing it for almost a decade now. And we're really the only ones that are making headway in it. All right. So let me talk about that. I'm going to get down to the gist of it here. So it says motor vehicle crashes accounted for of the 1 to 19 age group. 4,074 lives lost. Firearm-related injuries resulted in 3,143 deaths. So motor vehicle, 4,074. Firearm, 3,143. Now, they don't say how many of those were suicides, how many of those were accident, how many of those were legal intervention, and how many of those were homicide. And they don't say how many were actually involved in gang or, you know, some kind of violent activity at the beginning, because we're all thinking, or at least they pose this kind of study to think, we're thinking of the 3 and 4 and 5 year olds when they talk about children. We're thinking of 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 year olds. If you really want to look at the stats and get a much better perspective on that, look at the 0 to 5, look at the 5 to 10. Look at the 10 to 14, and then at that point, 14 to 19, then that is where you start to see the 99% of the gun homicides occur in that age group. Not obviously in the 0 to 5. It's almost statistically, you know, it's an asterisk on there. And the 5 to 10, same thing. Okay, and if it were such an issue with guns and gun access and gun availability and the ease of which to buy a firearm, then how come Utah isn't? I mean, Utah should be number one, logically, if we're using that kind of data. Utah should be number one in those kind of deaths. And we are way, way, way low comparatively. Yet you look at certain zip codes in Chicago, or in Illinois, I should say, certain zip codes in New Jersey, in New York, and Michigan, and California, that it's a cultural problem. It's a cultural issue. And if they really just wanted to address this problem appropriately, That's what they ought to be looking at. So my question also is, how come they don't break it down into those to those smaller groups? That way you can honestly get an honest picture of what we're looking at. And then I want to know, what's the breakdown? Suicide, accident, legal intervention, homicide. I want to know what the breakdown is, and by age group. How many were shot by a legal gun owner not in, you know, not in lawful self-defense? Until we address that, any proposed solutions, they're not going to be worth anything. So, all right. So that's my, you know, because we don't have a lot of, a ton of time on that kind of thing. All right. Federal government. This is actually a story out of NRA ILA, NRA Institute for Legislative Action.org. And let's see if I've got, I think I might have enough time to do this. All right. So should we trust the federal government with, you know, people say, oh, well, let's, registration's not a big deal. And, you know, that kind of thing. And that's akin to universal background checks. Hence, again, you know that universal background checks are not universal because just you and I are going to get them, not the criminals. But you cannot have that kind of a system without registering. All right. So do we trust the government with that information, your name, date of birth, your address, the gun, the serial number, the make, the model, caliber, and that kind of stuff, and maybe your Social Security number? All right. So in just the last couple months, three examples of the Fed's inability to secure sensitive data has come to light. Okay? Because that's the kind of data that we're talking about, sensitive data, that would be involved in a registration. You know, they've made it clear. David Chipman, you know, he's the like I said, the paid gun control lobbyist, he wants registration of literally, and I'm using the word correctly, literally, tens of millions of semi-automatic firearms. All right. And then, of course, he did say he wants them off the streets as well. So gun rights advocates understand that data will obviously lead to confiscation. You think I'm wrong? New York City did it in 91, in 2013. I mean, even Biden, Harris, Dianne Feinstein, Democrat of California, they've all called for literal confiscation. And I mean, the Brady chairman, the Council to Control Handguns, he said it was prerequisite. Registration is a prerequisite to handgun confiscation. So we know that the IRS leaked from within. They leaked the private tax returns of several wealthy Americans just on a political bent. And what was it? The Homeland Security had their watch list, their terrorist screening center watch list with 1.9 million records in it. 1.9 million. That's a big number of people that the government is watching, folks. 1.9 million. And that's, and when we talk about the no-fly list, that's a subset of the bigger list. So anyway, just last month, this Fox News reported that the State Department was hit by a cyber attack. And yeah, those are the records that would be obtained in that. And so, quite honestly, you know, the feds have proven themselves incompetent or politically motivated to not secure that confidential data. So I would resist any efforts at registration. All right. So go to UtahShootingSportsCouncil.org, UtahShootingSportsCouncil.org. Sign up for that. And remember, next week, we've got Ask a Gunsmith. We're going to have gunsmiths right here in the studio taking your calls and reading your emails. So until next week, go out shooting, be safe, and clean up after yourself. Till next week.